So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 24, and text in number 61. Yadmaya yedam pururupaya shrijat
Yadmaya yedam pururupaya shrijat
Vibharti bhuyakshapayatya vikriya
Vibharti bhuyakshapayatya vikriya
Yadveda buddhi sadivad madhustaya
Yadveda buddhi sadivad madhustaya
Vamatma tantram bhagavam pratimahi
Vamatma tantram bhagavam pratimahi
Yah,
one who,
Mayaya,
Mayaya,
by his energy,
Idam,
this,
Puru,
manifold.
Rupaya,
manifestation.
Ashrijat,
created.
Vibharati,
maintains.
Bhuya,
again.
Shapayati,
annihilates.
Avikriya,
without being altered.
Yeah.
That.
Veda buddhi.
Sense of differentiation.
Sat.
Eternal.
Eva.
Like.
Atmadushtaya.
Giving trouble to oneself. Tvam.
Unto you.
Atmatantram.
Fully self-independent.
Bhagavan.
O Lord.
Supreme Personality of God.
Pratimahi.
I can understand. Translation. My dear Lord, you have manifold energies. And these energies are manifested in manifold forms. With such energies, you have also created this cosmic manifestation. And although you maintain it as if it were permanent, you ultimately annihilate it. Although you are never disturbed by such changes and alterations, the living entities are disturbed by them. And therefore, they find the cosmic manifestation to be different or separated from you. My Lord, you are always independent, and I can clearly see this fact. Translation again, My dear Lord, you have manifold energies, and these energies are manifested
in
manifold forms.
With such energies,
you have also created this cosmic manifestation. And although you maintain it as if it were permanent,
although you are never disturbed by such changes and alterations,
The living entities are disturbed by them. And therefore they find
the cosmic manifestation
to be different or separated from you. My Lord,
you are always independent,
and I can clearly see this fact. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It is clearly explained that Lord Krishna has multi-energies, which can be grouped into three, namely the external energy, the internal energy, and the marginal energy. There are also different cosmic manifestations, namely the spiritual world and the material world, as well as different types of living entities. Some living entities are conditioned, and others are eternally free. The eternally free living entities are called Nitya Mukta, for they never come in contact with the material energy. However, some living entities are conditioned in this material world, and thus they think themselves separated from the Supreme Lord. Due to their contact with the material energy, their existence is always troublesome. Being always in distress, the conditioned soul considers the material energy to be very much disturbing. This fact is explained by Vaishnava Kavi or poet, Krishna Buli Sejiva Anadi Bhayarmukha Atayeva Maya Tare Deya Samsaradu. When the living entity forgets the Supreme Lord and wants to enjoy himself independently, imitating the Supreme Lord, he is captured by the false notion that he is the enjoyer and is separated from the Supreme Lord. This material energy is therefore very much troublesome to the spiritual energy, the living entity. But the material energy is never troublesome to the Supreme Lord. Indeed, for the Supreme Lord, both material and spiritual energy are the same. In this verse, Lord Shiva explains that the material energy is never troublesome to the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is always independent, but because the living entities are not independent, due to their false idea of becoming independently happy, the material energy is troublesome. Consequently, the material energy creates differentiation. Because the Mayavadi philosophers cannot understand it, they want to be relieved from the material energy. However, because a Vaishnava philosopher is in full knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he finds no disturbance even in the material energy. This is because he knows how to utilize the material energy for the service of the Lord. In the government, the criminal department and civil department may appear different in the eyes of the citizens, but in the eyes of the government, both departments are one and the same. The criminal department is troublesome for the criminal, but not for the obedient citizen. Similarly, this material energy is troublesome for the conditioned soul, but it has nothing to do with the liberated souls who are engaged in the service of the Lord. Through the Purusha avatar Mahavishnu, the Supreme Personality of God had created all cosmic manifestation. Simply by breathing out all the universes, the Lord creates and maintains the cosmic manifestation as Lord Vishnu. Then as Sankarshan, he annihilates the cosmic manifestation. Yet, despite the creation, maintenance and destruction of the cosmos, the Lord is not affected. The various activities of the Lord must be very disturbing to the teeny living entities, but since the Lord is supremely great, he is never affected. Lord Shiva or any other pure devotee can see this clearly without being blinded by Bheda Buddhi or differentiation. For a devotee, the Lord is the Supreme Spirit Soul. Since he is supremely powerful, his various powers are also spiritual. For a devotee, there is nothing material, for material existence only means forgetfulness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My dear Lord, you have manifold energies, and these energies are manifested in manifold forms. With such energies, you have also created this cosmic manifestation, and although you maintain it as if it were permanent, you ultimately annihilate it. Although you are never disturbed by such changes and alterations, the living entities are disturbed by them, and therefore they find the cosmic manifestation to be different or separated from you. My Lord, you are always independent, and I can clearly see this fact. Mukham karoti vachalam angurlangayatte girim yat kripa maham mande shigurum dinatarinam paramananda madhavam chaitanam ishwaram. Hare Krishna. So here Lord Shiva is pointing out how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is absolutely independent and unaffected by the workings of the material energy. On the other hand, the living entities are very badly conditioned by the activities of the material energy. And Srila Prabhupada starts purport by saying that the Lord is inconceivably powerful and is the source of everything. He is the source of both material and spiritual worlds. is the source of all living entities, and Parasyashakti Vividaiva Shurya Teva Bhavya Svabhaviki Jnana Bhava Kriya Cha is absolutely powerful in his desire, in the accomplishment of his desire. Therefore, never frustrated. So, Krishna is just living in his desire. There is no environment he has to adapt to. The environment is his own desire. There is no difference between his mind and his desire, his body. So whatever he desires is a reality. He desires a world. He desires inhabitants of this world, expansions of it. Everything is an expansion of himself. It would be just like if we were to be absolutely powerful, could sit down somewhere and imagine a beautiful place where we live with beautiful people, people that we like, they all love us, they all love me, and everything is wonderful, in perfect synergy. Okay, then of course I wake up because someone throws a stone to me or whatever. Or because, you know, your wife calls you, hey, it's time to get up, or whatever, or the mother, whatever it is. So, but for Krishna, it's not like that. He is constantly, eternally, thinking of his associates and of his world, his worlds, actually. And they are absolute reality. He is, there is no time, space, or a circumstance that can be an obstacle to his perfect desire. So he's perfectly happy. What drives him to do that? It's his own nature. His nature is to be wanting to be, desiring to be absolutely happy. He's the absolute person, so he has an absolute desire for happiness. So that never ends, because it's an eternal characteristic of his personality. So there is never an end to these beautiful associates, unlimited associates, unlimited beautiful world with unlimited beautiful features, like that. So that's Krishna. Who are we? Parinyami das Tvanyam. What is that? Prakitim vidime param. Jivabhuta mahabhava yayadam bhavate jagat, right? So, we are, Krishna says, another type of energy, not the material energy as mentioned just before. These are separated energy. We are a different energy. We are spiritual energy. But we are so teeny, teeny, teeny. And our independence has only meaning, has got only meaning when we are part of the Supreme Independent. When we recognize ourselves as part of the Supreme Independent. Our individuality has meaning when we recognize ourselves as part of the Supreme Individual. In other words, there is no meaning to individuality separated from Krishna. Now this is a drastic realization that we have to have. I can never be a real individual separated from Krishna. I can virtually be an individual. I can delude myself and think to be an individual. But factually, practically speaking, my individuality results in nothing. Because I'm not a Shaktiman. I'm not a proprietor of energies. I'm not a one who has energies at his command. I'm just a teeny fraction of energy. I don't have my Antaranga Shakti, my Tatastha Shakti, my Bhairanga Shakti. I don't get that stuff. That belongs to Krishna. I am a teeny fraction of energy. And in order for me to exist and therefore manifest my individuality. Because individuality which is not manifested doesn't have any meaning. In order to, at least you have to think, you have to be able to have your own thoughts, you know, cogito ergo sum, this kind. In order to exist and perceive your individuality, it has to function in some field. Now, you don't possess any field. The fields belong to Krishna. The internal field, and if you dovetail yourself with the internal field, then you understand, then you become independent. I will explain how. And if you dovetail yourself with the external field, well, then you think you are independent, you think you are individually living a life. But it's actually, there are many analogies, but it's insubstantial, dreaming state, you know, something that has no practical is of no practical value. And if you want to be an individual, independent individual, self-standing, autonomous, Krishna has to create an illusion for you, because that's not possible. So he has to create an illusion. He creates a false individuality, a false ego, which you need in order to believe, to think that you can exist as a self-standing individual separated from Krishna. He creates a false ego serves that purpose. A false, you know, a contaminated, you know, consciousness, a false ego, and a false mind. False in the sense that it exists, but you think it's your mind, but it's a material energy. There is a mind energy that permeates, you know, is one of the energies. So that's an energy. The mind is an energy. And we have a fraction of, you know, we sort of connect to a fraction of that total mind energy, the total ego energy, the total intelligence energy, the total, you know, senses and whatever. We connect to that and we think it's ours, because it's my mind. What's your mind? It's not your mind. You know? You have an original mind, you have an original intelligence, an original identity, but they are covered by these material energies. Material energy means actually a functioning of Krishna's Achintya Shakti, inconceivable energy, for the covering purpose, for the deluding purpose. So what is this deluding purpose? That you own something. This is my individuality, this is my mind, this is my Buddha, this is my intellect, these are my senses, this is my body, this like that. And it's wrong, it's not true. It's not true. Kartahami. You know, we foolishly think that we are doing things, that we own things, but it's all a very sophisticated, you say, contrivance. The contrived mechanism. It's a very sophisticated mechanism. We just get into this mechanism, and because we associate with the modes which are at the basis of this mechanism, we suffer and enjoy its general suffering. So ultimately, our individuality results, and then I create some misery different from your misery. You know, I can live a miserable, or, you know, at the best, mixed life, different from yours. You know, you can perceive it in a different way than you. But that's all. Hare Krishna. There's nothing more than that. I am miserable in a different way than you are miserable. That is the individual feature. The distinctive feature of the individualities in this world. That's all. And, you know, you can be miserable differently, you know, the way I'm miserable. That's all. And you can be illusion in a different way that I'm illusion. You know, so, deluded. So, that's it. The jiva, this teeny fraction, infinitesimal part of energy, of
marginal
energy, is there trying to imitate Krishna. Krishna by Mukhaya Bhagavan Chakara Intapestamaya Tarachapatiya. You know, the moment you get away from Krishna, you get into this enterprise of wanting to be an energetic, wanting to control everything else. And this is ridiculous, actually. It's a ridiculous attempt. Now, one may think, since we are always, what is it called? When Krishna, Tamishara, under Tamishara, since we have always some kind of resentment towards Krishna, we may think, but you are all powerful. Why didn't you make me all powerful also? What does it mean? What's the problem for you? I remember in the beginning when Hindu used to talk like this just to try to defeat the argument. Why, if you're all powerful and you have unlimited reserve of energy, why don't you create a world for Vishaka? A whole world. You would deserve it more than anyone else, but create a world where, this jiva can be supreme. Alright? And you create unlimited universe, you create a universe for every jiva. And jiva is totally, the jiva has got everything she wants or he wants, whatever jiva she wants. So, and that would be perfectly satisfying for her. Would it be? No, it wouldn't be satisfying. Why wouldn't it be satisfying? Because even if Krishna gives you some external energy to play with, then you can enjoy being alone in it. You need some other sentient, individuals that are willing to love you, serve you, or exchange with you somehow. Because if you by nature, or each fundamentally, you need to be loved and you need to love. That's the Sanatana Dharma, the constitutional position of everyone. Because we are parts of Krishna. Krishna wants to be happy in association, in the plurality of existences. So, you need that too. So, then you say, but Krishna, then you give me some living entities to lord over. But wait a minute, they also want the same thing. So, they also want the same thing you want. So Krishna says, okay, you work it out amongst yourselves. And that's the material world. You work it out amongst yourselves. You want this, to be a Shaktiman, to be a possible proprietor of energy, as a controller, an emanator of, bliss or whatever, or a recipient of service. You work it out amongst yourselves. Do it in this material world. And this is the material world. Ignorance actually, Prabhupada said, means fruitive activity, means selfish activity. It's when everything is self-centered. So, but the real individuality of the soul is lost. The meaning of individuality is not to just create misery or to, compete with others, manasastanindriyani prakritista karshati, to compete and to fight just to get some pleasure. That's not the reason why Krishna emanated individuals. That's not the ontological position of the soul. The soul, ontologically, constitution, is part of Krishna. Krishna is absolutely independent. So this is very interesting. All his parts are also absolutely independent. When they are in perfect synergy with Krishna. So all his emanations, all the numberless or infinite number of souls, and other categories of energies, as I mentioned Prabhupada at the beginning, Shakti Tattva, so Jiva. No, once they are in connubio, once they are in union with Krishna's purpose, Krishna wants to give absolute independence. Because this independence is the inspiration for serving in multifarious ways. He In its constitutional position, the jiva is absolutely independent, so that it can manifest incredible ways of pleasing Krishna, which means pleasing all Krishna's parts, including herself, that jiva itself, and all everyone else. This is the perfect state of independence and the perfect understanding of individuality. Why Krishna, Nitya Nityanam Chaitanya, why does he manifest numberless individuals? For the common pleasure, for the ecstasy. So, the meaning of my individuality, of my existence as an individual, is to be part of this. Any other meaning, it's illusory, it's artificial, so, fabricated. It doesn't have a locus standi, it doesn't have a standing. Right. Because it's not that Krishna manifests individual. Anyone says, thank you, Dad, now I'm going for my own life, You manifest, like an material. Okay, now, you're you, me, it's me, and I'm absolutely a self-standing, independent group. It's a word like that, Krishna. We are eternal parts of Krishna. Right now, we are parts of Krishna. In this very moment, we are parts of Krishna's body. Prabhupada said, we are part of Krishna's body. We are part of him. Because if we are parts of Krishna, we are not different. Krishna is not different from his body, from his mind, from his desire. We are parts of Krishna's desire, we are parts of Krishna's body. But this ignorance has covered us. This distorted desire. And therefore, we are always in anxiety. The material energy is covering this facility for being independent from Krishna is actually the source of our misery. It's, it's all contorted, it's all reversed in that sense. And when you contact Krishna's energy with this reversed intelligence, with these wrong expectations from the energy, then the energy doesn't serve you, doesn't help you. It's just because you are trying to harm yourself. Not that Krishna is afraid, I'm going to be in misery because otherwise it's going to harm me. Who can harm Krishna? You can't even get close to where Krishna is, It's explained, in Brahma Samhita there are protections for the spirit. Nobody can, even get closer if it's not pure devotee. But you are harming yourself. You're doing selfishness. It's harming to the consciousness of the soul. It's actually doing bad to yourself. And that's why material energy gives you suffering. Not because you can harm Krishna, you can harm, Krishna's liberated souls, he can't do that. But, you're like someone who's, self-destructive. He's harming himself, Sometimes you have to slap a child because he wants to go with the Caesar inside. With the Caesar inside the plug, and he insists, I want to go with the Caesar. I used to want to go with the Caesar inside the plug. Sometimes don't go with the Caesars inside the plug, because otherwise you get, we see your skeleton, you're finished, your body's gone. So the material energy does that for our benefit. That's for Maya, it's also mercy. We don't understand it because we are fixed on this idea that some energy has to serve me, I have to really enjoy it. But the moment one gives up this idea and you understand that Krishna is the enjoyer and utilizes the material energy for Krishna's service, then the materiality of the energy or the material characteristic of the energy vanishes. It's not there anymore. Like Baptist Vyasti Ratarava Bhagavan Yadisya Tavina Nakala Didi Vyakishur Murti. He sees Krishna, you know, everywhere. You know, it's just, you know, this is Krishna. How this energy is connected with him, it belongs to him. It's his own energy. And this is Achintya Shakti, just that it can work in a way or in another way. So he sees the things from Krishna's perspective. The pure devotee sees, because his part is a realized part of Krishna. So he sees Krishna's energy the way Krishna sees Krishna's energies. You know? It's all Achintya Shakti, it's all inconceivable potency that can work one way or the other way, according to the attitude that the soul has in relation to Krishna. So it works like this. It's very simple. How is it possible that one can have a material body and not be miserable? Can anyone conceive of something like this? Have a material body and not be miserable? If you conceive of it, means you are in Maya. No, yeah, Maya. In our good, you know, mind, you know, can one have a material body and not be miserable? You say no. But a pure devotee, Svarga, Pavarga, Narakeswa, Vituryarta, Darshana, he can be anywhere and not feel miserable. Why? Because he sees even the most dreadful circumstances, he sees them as Krishna's energy. That means he sees Krishna that's manifesting them. He's there manifesting this situation. He's, working through his energies. And so, just like sometimes a father, makes boom boom to the child, whatever. Everyone does his own stupid things. Everyone has a set of, it's not nothing but say any crazy thing to the wife or to the lover, you can become stupid. But, one does, in order to amuse the child, you can do something. And the child laughs. Because he sees, even though he's making bad face, the child sees, unless he's traumatized by something, because he beats him one day, every other day, and that's the bad faces. But if he's a gentle, parent, and he does something like this, the child laughs, because he sees, although he's doing, something, like orangutan or whatever it is, it's my father, all he sees that is his father there. He's not thinking, who's this guy? Who's this orangutan? He's thinking, you ran away from the zoo, he's going to kill me. No, he understands, it's my father. So the connection in the yukta is always there. It doesn't disconnect, it doesn't see it separated. So even the most dreadful circumstance, if one sees Krishna that is, manipulating it, using his energies, he's doing it, then, the pure devotee is not, it's not afraid, it's not in anxiety. Or another, there's so many analogies, but it's not in anxiety. But the moment you don't see Krishna there, then you're alone with this powerful material energy, this which manifests anything. You name it, demons, rakshasas, earthquakes, famine, pestilence, disease, quarrels, wars, anything, So, who are you? You are a little tiny jiva in the midst of all these incredible, unsurmountable problems. You feel like, totally abandoned and hopeless, so helpless. So that's the difference, separation or non-separation. If you are disturbed by the material energy, if you are attracted or repulsed by the material energy, meaning if you have some plans of exploitation of the material energy, then you're going to see things in a separated way. And you're going to be very disturbed. Because you won't see Krishna's presence. But if you want to serve Krishna with material energy, even though it's an energy of forgetfulness, Krishna, never mind. You are forgetful, whatever form of forgetfulness you get, because this body is a form of forgetfulness of Krishna, you use it to serve. And By my Achintya Shakti, I will convert it into energy of remembrance or understanding. That's what it is. And that's the proof of his inconceivability. And Prabhupada says here that the proof that Mahavishnu creates this world and is totally unaffected by creation. He maintains it as if it were permanent. You know, it's like, you know, it's incredible. He has this power of making things appear real, even to great devas. But then Sankarshani destroys it and is unaffected. Yakaranarana Vajali Vajatisma Yuga Nidra Mananta Jagadanda Saruma Kupadara Shakti Manoandi Paramsamut Gurundaman Purushanta. And so he breathes out universes with all living entities. And then he breathes in. For him, creation and destruction, maintenance and destruction, is just like a breath. I can even breathe out a flat, in a house, or, you know, whatever. Yeah. You know, a bicycle. Without a bite, you can't breathe out anything. Just germs, you know. So some devas can do better, you know. Some devas and yogis can breathe out something, but still, you know, it's incomparable. It's, you know, for him it's just a breath. You know, then yasyaikanis vasitakamantalavantilantilumantajajaja. No, Brahma leaves just one breath, Mahavishnu. For him, it's, you know. It's an ordinary activity. So he's unaffected. He doesn't have any plans to enjoy within the realm of fruitive activities, because he doesn't have to create a fruit. His desire is the fruit in itself. So he doesn't have to work in the realm of fruitive activity. He doesn't need ignorance to be happy. So that is Krishna's position. And once we, you know, we become advanced in this knowledge and realization, the material energy will be serving us. Now, serving us doesn't mean that we are there, okay, bring my shoes, you know, my shoes come, you know, and, you know, everywhere I go, please, the way, you know, open the doors, open up, you want anything from supermarket, you know, don't pay, you know, material energy serving, you know. Doesn't mean that. It means that we see every condition that manifests throughout our life as Krishna's arrangement for our protection, for our upliftment, for getting us closer to Him. Not that, oh, material, you know, I become pure devotee, material energy is serving me, you know, because always a pure devotee, and don't give me even a headache, you know, my brother. And that's, it doesn't work like that. It works in the sense that you can see how what she is doing for your benefit under Krishna's direction. That's the way it works. And one becomes peaceful. We see the workings of the Paramatma, the Supreme Soul, you know, enacted for his benefit. Instead of this, Jita Manapa Santasya Paramatma Samayama Siddhoshma Siddhoshma Tata Manapa. He attains tranquility. He's also not confined within the limits of time, in the sense of, you know, it doesn't become restless or impatient, or, you know, Krishna controls time. Time is Krishna's energy. You know, you can see also how Krishna is moving time, how he controls eternity. Eternity is an energy of Krishna as a feature. So how he can turn something inconceivably from Nitya Bhadra into Nitya Mukta, how he can turn something that is within the realm of time, or the phases of time, into eternal. It's just, we cannot understand now at this stage how he can do that, but he can do that. So he can understand how, although, and this Prabhupada mentions the impersonalists, they want to do zero with the material energy, because they don't have, they see it just as a source of trouble. They don't see how it's Krishna's energy that, you know, we can connect with in Krishna consciousness and changes its nature, you know, into absolute Krishna's energy. They don't see that, so they want cancer. But the reason is that they cannot understand why a material energy can exist from the very beginning. Then they say, if Krishna is being the Supreme Lord, is spiritual, I mean, if he is there, you know, if he's absolutely powerful and spiritual, why? How can something material, temporary, be generated from him? They don't understand. Because they don't understand the principle of inconceivability of Krishna. How inconceivably he can, from his Achintya Shakti, manifest something which whose manifestation is temporary in nature, and something whose manifestation is eternal in nature. They cannot understand how inconceivably his energy can enact everything, and at the same time he remains untouched and unaffected by it. Their limited material intelligence makes them think, if he's absolute, unchangeable, nothing changeable can emanate from him. That's the limit. They cannot accept the principle of inconceivability and parinama, the emanations that leave him unaffected, and the combination of his energies work and he's unaffected. His eternal, immovable, unchangeable nature is still there. So by not granting to Krishna, to the absolute truth, the inconceivable power of his Achintya Shakti, they can never understand. One can understand Krishna only when he acknowledges Krishna's inconceivable power. And he will realize this inconceivable power in his own life by seeing how the separated Veda Buddhi, the separated vision of the material energy by serving Krishna is wound up. And the absolute nature of the soul itself as part of Krishna becomes manifest. You know, I am the eternal servant of Krishna, and Krishna is wonderfully supporting my individuality. My individuality is supported by Krishna eternally. Inconceivably, we are individuals, but my individuality is dependent on his supreme individuality. Like that, one can see everything that serves Krishna. Ben, good. So, thank you very much for the patience. Are there any questions or comments? From left field, as you say.
Just a small question, because you were saying that
we cannot
hurt Krishna.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, I heard many times that we should do a lot of devotional service and everything in this lifetime because we've been ignoring Krishna so many lifetimes before and forgetting him. So did we hurt him by doing that?
Okay. We can't hurt Krishna in the sense that it's not that Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan or with the, you know, thinking of, now these souls down there, I mean, I can't really enjoy here. Because, you know, the souls, there is, compassion is another feature of his, you know, eternal potency, of his bhakti. But it's not that he is, diminished his enjoyment because of some rebellious souls. His rasa is perfect. It's not less than perfect, super perfect. His enjoyment with Srimati Radharani is absolutely, you know, perfect. Mahabhava Smriti, you know, is emotion, is we shouldn't apply to Krishna the sense of disappointment or you know that we experience in this world. So on one hand, Krishna is absolutely perfectly enjoying the spiritual world. At the same time, since inconceivably he can do infinite number of things and be in an infinite number of stato d'animo.
Situation?
Situation, yeah, situation, stato d'animo. It's, state of mind, you could say. He simultaneously has a great compassion for the rebellious or lost souls. And he creates the material world for that, giving them a chance to, you know, to work it out amongst themselves and helping them out through, you know, always watching how they do, you know, helping them out through basically to the saintly personalities or to Shastra into, you know, coming down himself and we call them back. But that doesn't mean that, you know, I'll be the last soul to go back home, back to Godhead. So Krishna is not completely happy without me. Now some of you may think like that, you know. That, you know, and sometimes, again, you know, because we are very childish, you know, the analogies of children is very good. You know, I'm going to inflict suffering to myself, so my father suffers, so my mother is unhappy. They can't be happy if I, you know, if they see I'm not happy. You know, they can't be fully happy. So you can't apply that principle to Krishna. Krishna is not as happy. There's still 45 souls there, you know, I can't, you know, this, they can't come back. And, you know, the thing is not complete, you know. You know, it doesn't work like that for Krishna. He's a beautiful rasa. And it's not also that Krishna is insensitive in the sense of, oh, I got my gopis and everything else. Everyone, you know, keeps souls. You know, we can do without them. You know. It's not that it's, you know, some very important, you know, pleasure giving personalities to Krishna and everyone else is, you know. Okay, you know, let's annihilate them, you know, if he wants it. He can, you know, he can even, no, so, it's not like that. But inconceivably, again, because this is a Chintashak, he is perfectly in bliss, in ecstasy, with his associates in Goloka Vrindavan. Perfect. And he has beautiful pastimes. But, you know, since he can exist in different states of mind, you know, actually, all his expansions are different states of his states of mind. It's like stato d'animo. Anyway, it's a little different. But like the Narayanas, they're not all done with a stamp in the Vaikuntha planets. You know, they have different. You know, there's a different mood in each one of them. You know, that which Narayana, which Vaikuntha planet are in the 13,346? You know, Vaikuntha planet. Of which, you know, it's how you can go, you know, go right, you know, they turn like, they're like the same, you know. And they enjoy that, and each one of them has got some distinctive feature and characteristics. And they will put it together. But again, he can, at the same time, be, you know, feeling, oh, you know, I want to recall them, you know, some compassion, some lucky, if you like. But that doesn't, as I said, that doesn't corrupt his rasa. It doesn't corrupt or diminish his enjoyment. So when he feels like that, he comes, especially as Lord Chaitanya, you know, he's very, you know, very merciful because, you know, Radharani is the most merciful and sensitive. So like that. But we cannot hurt him. You cannot say, as the child says, I'm going to be here, I'm falling in ignorance more and more and more, so you are unhappy. No, I hurt you. You can't do that. I'm a bad position. You're not going to be successful if you want to do that. He's going to enjoy it perfectly. You know, even Not even compassion, even if we do that, and we do that, life after life, still is compassion, still inconceivably again, you know, because, you know, someone who wanted to kill you, now we want to kill Krishna, but we want to annihilate, you know, it's like, no more Krishna, please, you know, it's someone who is, you know, controlling, I'm part of him, I can't even exist independently for a second, for an instant, I don't have my privacy, I don't have anything, I don't have my life, things like this. Now, so we want to see, you know, why Krishna out? Now, we try to annihilate him, we try to cheat him, we try to exploit him, you know, that's what we do, the conditioned soul do that. What are you doing now? No, I'm an atheist, I'm trying to annihilate him. What are you doing? No, I'm a pious man, I'm trying to explore it. You know, like, you know, you do like that. I'm impious, I'm trying to, you know, harm him or whatever. You know, it's like, we do that, and still, you know, after this very determined effort on our part to do all this to him, he's still inclined to help us. He's still, because he perfectly knows how we belong to him. What is the meaning, who we are. Each one of us is an individual created, you know, by his perfect individuality, by the perfect individual, and sustained by his love. So he knows that, he knows the characteristics of our personality, or our individuality, and he wants to recall us back. So that's inconceivable, that someone can be so caring, so sensitive, so loving, like Krishna is. We can't understand that. We, you know, someone does something to us three times. Three times. You know, one time, two times, three times. You know, finished. You know, we can't have anything to do with it. So, Krishna, life after life, is with us. So, you can't hurt him, but it hurts him to think that you are hurting yourself and you are not participating in his rasa. That's the point. You're not enjoying your constitutional position, your peace. Okay? So, I hope it answers your question. I think it was a long answer, and you'll have to service. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Granth Raj ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.